piedi.
Good morning, one and all. Blessings. I want to read just a quick few verses. Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him and all His angels. Praise Him, all hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all stars of light. Praise Him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them that praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. Doesn't mention us. All these other things, clearly, as His creation, and as the ones who can know Him personally, we should praise Him above all those other things. Let's do that this day. Welcome those who are guests, Nicholas and Emil, especially, and Nicholas is his birthday today. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. It's pretty special that he's here on his birthday, so welcome. And where's William? I saw William. Oh, William. I haven't seen you in a while, so welcome back. Welcome home. Any update on those with medical conditions? I know that Ellie was doing a little better. We heard that. Anyone else have any prayer requests or things we should pray for or updates?
Jason and Erica.
That's right. Jason and Erica had a baby boy. What's his name? John?
John James.
John James. Very nice. And that's why Kathy's not here, I assume.
Oh, she went to
a baby shower. Okay.
Becky and I will be away the next two Sundays. Mom will be away next Sunday, but back home the following. And then Peter and Evelyn will be, I assume they'll be with us in church then that Sunday as well. So that's the game plan.
Very good. Take our greetings wherever you go. And I didn't ask for greetings. I don't know if your brothers have greetings from. Thank you.
Greetings from Colorado Springs, where I was last week, and from my home church of Brunswick.
hills.
You're all over. Very good. Thank you. Thank you. And take greetings back with you as well.
Rose Bensel called and she wants to be remembered.
Thank you. From Rose. Today we'll have lunch and afternoon song service. Today is also the collection for the food pantry. Wednesday we have our Bible study here at church and on Zoom. And camp is a little over a month away, so pray for that, please. Our quarterly mission focus is on CLM. And is there anything else to announce? If not, pray for Brother Frank as he would have the service this morning. And let's sing from 329, the first two verses.
Good morning. Welcome into the house of the Lord. We thank God for each one who He has brought here. And let's begin with a prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the opportunity to come unto You in this day and to look into Your Word. And we thank You for being able to do that in Bible class this morning, and we ask that Your presence would be here as we look into Your Word again. And we are mindful of You, how much we need Your Word, how much it is important for us to read Your Word and to look at it and see the way that You have dealt with people in the past and the way that You are dealing with people today, and the way that each one it comes individually to You and wants to should recognize You as the Lord of our lives and the Lord of the universe, the Creator of everything, and to highly regard You as the one that we need so much in our lives. And we ask that You would bless us and that You would show us those things we need to understand about You and need to do in our lives to draw closer to You and to have a life of joy in You. And we just want to honor and praise You in all that we say and do, for we pray it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. During the week, I was reading, and I was reading in Psalm 18, and I'd want to use that as the text for this morning. And Psalm 18 is a psalm of David that he talks about, and he talks about a lot of things that happen in his life in this psalm. And he talks about God. He said in verse 2, "The Lord is my rock." And he's talking about the experiences that he has gone through, and how he has God has really guided him in that, and he's seeing the hand of God in all of those experiences. And he looks like that was his life, that he would look at every experience that he goes through and see the hand of God in that. And it's interesting that in this psalm, this is Psalm 18, but this psalm is repeated almost word for word in 2 Chronicles, which is two chapters before the one that we had this morning in Bible class. So we can see how much of a change he has gone from what he was like in this psalm to what happened to him and the effects of sin in his life, how that changed his life and maybe on his outlook or maybe on his closeness to God. But let's read this and then we'll go over some things. Psalm 18. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, and the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken, because he was wrought. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils, and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down, and darkness was under his feet. He rode upon a cherub, and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent out his arrows and scattered them, and he shot out lightnings and discomfited them. Then the channels of water were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke. O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils, he sent from above, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. Then they prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands hath he recompensed me. For I have kept the ways of the Lord, and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all his judgments were before me, and I did not put away his statutes from me. I was also upright before him, and I kept myself from mine iniquity. Therefore hath the Lord recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands in his eyesight. With the merciful thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the froward thou wilt show thyself froward. For thou wilt save the afflicted people, but wilt bring down high looks. For thou wilt light my candle. The Lord my God will enlighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength, and maketh my way perfect. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy right hand hath holden me up, and thy gentleness hath made me great. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet. For thou hast girded me with strength unto the battle. Thou hast subdued me under those that rose up against me. Thou hast given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. They cry, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but he answered them not. Then did I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the streets. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. Thou hast made me the head of the heathen. A people whom I have not known shall serve me. As soon as they hear of me, they shall obey me. The strangers shall submit themselves unto me. The strangers shall fade away and be afraid out of their closed places. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance gave he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forevermore. Again, this is a psalm of David, and it's right about the time, I think, that he was delivered from the hand of King Saul, who was trying to kill David. If we remember that King Saul was trying to kill David because he found out that David was was anointed as the next king. And so there were times where David was fleeing from King Saul, and there were times that even times where he met up with David and had a chance for David to kill the king, but he said he wouldn't do that because that was the Lord's anointed. He was the anointed king, and even though that David would be the next king, he wouldn't take that into his own hands, but he really gave it into God's hands. And it looks like the things when he's talking about all kinds of events in his life, and through all of them, he's seeing God as the one who is directing his path, the one who is giving him strength in those things. And he sees God in a way that that every event in his life, God is involved in that. God is the one, really the one who is guiding that. David also wrote about some victories about his enemies, and he treated them harshly. But he also looks to God as God is guiding him, and he wants to do the will of God. And David, he was not a perfect man, and he made some serious mistakes and sins, and he also did some serious repenting of that. Even when we see the things with when he had a child with Bathsheba, and he knew that the child was, or it was said that the child was going to die, and he repented and wouldn't eat and drink, and was hopeful that this child would live, but the child died, but we can see how serious he was about those things and how seriously he took that. And so David wasn't perfect, but he did acknowledge that the only God as the creator of everything, God is perfect. His way is perfect, and the word of God is perfect. And in verse 46, he says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted." And then in verse 3, he says, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall be saved from mine enemies." And I think that was a song that was popular. I don't remember when it was, but it was a little while ago. And singing these words and being able to see how he saw God as the living God, the one that was directing his path, the one that he would go to in any situation, in situations that were good, he would praise God for the goodness that God was showing him. In situations that were bad, he would praise God that he brought him through those situations. And in every situation, he looked unto God and looked to see what should be done to God. And in verse 49, David says, "Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name." And in a lot of the Psalms, he's singing, these are really praises to God. The Psalms that he has written are praises to God. And he said, even in the heathen should hear these words to know that this God is such a great God, and God is the one who can do everything and do anything. And that's really kind of a New Testament concept of spreading the word of God through those, even those who aren't Jewish and aren't part of that religion, to spread the word about God. And we see that more and more in the New Testament. And we went over the book of Acts and saw how that the Apostle Paul was led to different places to show the word of God in different places, and it was also a promise to Abraham that through his seed would all the nations of the world be blessed. That it's really talking about Jesus Christ, that he would come, and that through him he would show that he is the sacrifice for sin, and he came to pay the price for my sin, so that I could be forgiven of my sin. And that's in those Psalms that he talks about. There's a lot of songs where he's praising God and showing God and wants the whole world to know about that. And the way that David says some of things, like in verse 2, he says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation, and is my high tower." He's talking about God in the way that he sees things, that David is taking all of these things personally, as seeing this God is personally presenting them to him, and he's getting an understanding of who God really is and how powerful he is. And he sees God as a rock, like a sure foundation, something that can be counted on, and that's something that is strong and will endure forever. God has a foundation. His word is like the foundation of our life, and if we keep our life according to his word, that is a foundation that will go on into eternity. And he talks about God is his fortress. It's like he has this this place where he can find protection in his life, in knowing God and in knowing what God has done for him and is doing for him. He feels a sense of protection, like a fortress would protect someone where when the enemy is coming around, that they can go into the fortress and they can be protected by that fortress. And he sees God in that way, that when he is close to God, he sees the protection of God there. And he said, "God is my deliverer." He's the one that even in difficult times, because David went through many good times, and he went through difficult times also. But he sees that God is he, and he acknowledges that God is the one that brought him through those times. He brought him through those difficult times. And that was a time to praise him also for having a God that that is with us through good times and bad times and difficult times. It's something wonderful to know that God cares about us and that God wants to have a relationship with us. And we can see that the relationship that David had with God, and I think a lot of it has to do with that David was a shepherd, and he could see that a lot of times he had to help out the sheep because they were helpless in helpless situations, or if a sheep was stuck in a place where it couldn't get out of it, he was there to protect the sheep and to get it out of that situation. And he looked at his own life as in that way also, that when David got into a situation that he couldn't handle, he would come out to God and he would see God as the one who would lovingly come and get him out of that situation or guide him through that situation. And that's the kind of relationship that we should also have with God, and that's something that is really special. And so he's a deliverer in difficult times, and he could also feel free that he's not in captivity, and that he can come unto God. And he wanted to God to be the strength of his life when he's feeling weak, that he would come unto God and he would be able to trust in God. And even when he saw Goliath, that he was saying things about God that weren't true, and he that brought up a feeling in him that this man shouldn't be talking about God in this way, the God that I worship and the God that is so strong and the God of is everywhere, that you can't talk about the God like that in that way. And he was able to from knowing that and understanding that so much, that he was able to go and defeat Goliath. And Goliath was much taller than he is. And in coming up to Goliath is saying, but you're a kid here, and you got a sling. I can easily rip you apart into pieces, but David had that trust in God, that because this was a person that was talking against God, that he took upon knowing that God would be really the one that would fight this battle for him, and David was able to kill Goliath, even though the odds of him even coming out of that fight without being really harmed was most people would see that as impossible, that it couldn't be done. But he saw it that he was doing the will of God, and he wanted to protect the name of God, and God was protecting him, that God was giving him the ability and the strength to do that. And in time that he was feeling weak, he looked at God for his strength, that here was the only true God, the creator of the universe, and that God would help him out in those situations. And really in every situation that David was in, whether it was good or bad, he looked unto God. He looked unto God for help. He looked unto God for strength. He looked unto God as the one who would guide him and direct him in every way. And he wanted God to be the one that he would show his trust to God and his trust in God in all that he said and do. And He talks about that he's a God is his his buckler, or buckler is really a shield that a warrior uses to when there are arrows and things coming, that he could block it with that shield. And he sees God in that kind of a way, that God's protection is one that he sees if they are. And the Bible talks about that as the shield of faith is used to against the fiery darts of the deception of the devil, and he sees that as the God is the one who is going to protect him. He looks unto God and he trusts in God that will happen, and he will do that. And he wanted to. He saw how powerful God was, and he looked at, and I'm thinking when he's out in the field and he looks at the stars and the sky and the sun and the moon and see how all of those things work and how God has created that and put all those things into motion, and they're consistently happening there, and looking at the stars of heaven to. He can't even count the number of stars, that there's so many there. And knowing that God is the one who has created all of that, he can see that magnificence in the creation of God, what God has done. And I think that gives him a wonderful feeling of how powerful God is, that even as far as he can see, God has created all of that, and even past what he can see or what we can see, God is the creator of all of that, and he wants to praise God for that. He wants to realize how important God is in his life, and he talks about God is his high tower. Like a high tower is usually where you would go for protection. Like if the enemy was pursuing you, you could lock yourself into this high tower and have that protection there so that the invaders or whatever couldn't get at you. And he's seeing God in that way. And it looks like in every aspect of his life, he's seeing God directing his life, and he's seeing God being one who is controlling that. And I wonder if I do something like that too, or if I'm in a difficult situation, do I first think of, well, what are the ways that I would get, how I would get out of this? And it looks like he's looking at as that this is something that God has control over. God has control over everything, and he would see that. And those things that are good in our life, do we know how to realistically apply those things in our lives? Like God, David sees in a way how God is protecting him, and do we always see that in our own lives? Do we see the ways that God is protecting us, and God, do we see the way that God loves us, and do we see how really a wonderful thing that is, and a mighty thing that is, and do we also communicate that to others? Do we know even how to tell someone about that our understanding of God is that God is really should be involved in every aspect of my life? And I'm wondering if I do that all the time, because it seems like David has at this point in his life is doing that all the time. And I'm wondering if I could explain that to someone of how much God really cares for me and cares for you in the things that he has done and is doing. And I think when he had this incident with Bathsheba, I think then somehow something changed there, that instead of looking at this in the light of that God would look at it, he somehow looked at it personally, that he would bring this woman over to him, and then sin happened, and after that sin, he was forgiven of that sin, but his life was different. His life was not really as close and not really as intimate as it had been to those things he's describing in this psalm here. It looks like, yes, he was forgiven, but that closeness and that oneness with God was just not the same. And we see that he would number the people, and I guess that was part of how he doesn't have that close feeling to God, but looking at it personally, to know that there's a lot of people protecting him and to number and to know the amount of people. But here, before that, he was looking at God to protect him. He was looking at the way that God would protect him. And he was looking at the way that, how could he always do the will of God so that God would see him and God would be the one who was there for him all the time. And it seemed like after that it was a little different. I think it's important that we try to keep God in our hearts in such a mighty way that we can't really overestimate God's strength, God's power, or any of God's characteristics. God is greater than the things that we can even think of and do. Before I forget, one of the things he talks about, like he makes my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me on high places. And I was just looking at the picture of this animal here, that it's almost a total vertical cliff here, and this animal is able to climb on this cliff here. And I would be afraid to even with tools and with something that I could put into the rock and ropes to get up this cliff. And yet this animal is doing it just with the abilities that God has given unto him. And do we look at our own lives that way? That sometimes we want to have the tools that would make it possible. But God said, I have given you tools that are possible to do that. It's hard to overestimate God, but it's also a warning that sin changes things. If we sin, that we may be forgiven of that sin, but maybe our life isn't as close to God as it should be. And maybe David was, instead of looking at God In a way that he's protector and would always be with him, he's feeling this separation from God and making decisions in the wrong way, not trusting in God because of the consequences of that sin. But we have to have God as part of our life that is really our life, that he is the one who gives us the strength. He is the one who we have to rely on, and I would ask in my life that I would draw closer and closer unto God and to keep that sin away from me, so I wouldn't be separated from God in any way. And I think that each one of us would want to draw closer to God, and through His Word, God is willing to have that to happen in our life also. And I just wanted to look at the ways that David's life in the beginning there, see that real closeness to God, and how that was a joy to him, and how that he would want to come unto God, and he would want to sing unto God, he wanted to give his whole life to God. And I think that's kind of a feeling that I want to have more and more of in my life, and I would wish that each of us would would draw close to God and God would show his real magnificence unto everyone. May the Lord bless his word.
Number 93, first three verses.
Brothers Emil and Nick, you can decide who's going to pray while I say things here, and pray for lunch too when we do. David was a man after God's own heart, and clearly this text, his psalm here, is a beautiful foresight that he had of who God was and his glory and his magnificence and how he is worthy of praise. He recognized God as his strength, as his deliverer. And we, from what we read this morning in Bible class, he recognized his mercy and his grace. And clearly, all of those are important and beautiful facets of God. But what David didn't know and didn't realize yet is how deep the love of God was and how what was yet in store and what God had planned out. And in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith chapter, David is mentioned along with many others. And it ends with, "And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, then they without us should not be made perfect." Something better. Receive not the promise. The promise that was provided, that is available for us today, is Jesus. And David knew God and was a man after his own heart. But how much more so can we today, having experienced God's love personally, his son dying on the cross and rising again and providing us salvation, how much more so can we relate to and have a relationship with God? I mean, David clearly had a deep relationship with God, but we, as his children, as ones who have been redeemed by his blood, and have the Holy Spirit living within us that we talked about this morning that leads us and directs us when temptation comes and says, whoa, and we can listen or we can still do our own thing. But clearly we have a relationship with God that even David could not have. And that's incredible by what Jesus has done. And we should take it for granted. And David acted on his faith and his belief in God and responded. And we likewise should act on our faith in Jesus and respond in living out a life of love, a life of kindness, a life of sharing God's message, his hopefulness to those that are lost, to those that are wandering through this world with blinders on, not knowing the truth of what God has promised of Jesus, that he is the promised one, and that we know him and can share him. That is our calling, and our faith should be lived out that we do share that message of love and show that message of love to those around us. Now, brothers, have you decided?
Gracious God, Heavenly Father, how can I add to what was said today? But an amen. Just so thankful that the words in this book that we call the Bible has been expounded on, has been preached on, has been meditated on for thousands of years. And yet we hunger for more of it until you come, Lord Jesus, which is your promise to your redeemed to take home. Father, we know that your servant David that we read from the Psalms, who had such a relationship with you, as we've heard today expounded on again, was a man after your own heart, you describe him as. And we should all be thought of by you, Heavenly Father, as wanting and knowing that we are after your own heart, the desires there. And that we have Jesus to thank for. We pray for many that don't know Jesus this way, that can hear the word meditated to them personally, even in these chairs, even today, or wherever they may hear your word, on the radio, through the Lord directly, not knowing that that's them speaking to them because of prayers for them, honoring the prayers of the faithful. Gracious Father, thank you for, again, being with us in this place where your word was expressed truthfully and thankfully, and for the brothers that do so week after week, wherever they may be. Bless them to continue to do that. It's not an easy thing, but with the help of your Holy Spirit, it's doable. But the goal is to reach out and learn from you through your word always. Pray a blessing on the meal before us that's been prepared. Bless those that so lovingly do so week after week. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this congregation that size does not matter, what it was and what it is now. Your Holy Spirit is present and is guiding, and thankful for that, for the fellowship one can have because of you and with you and each other. In Jesus' name we pray. Christ our Lord, who has the Father's ear. Amen.